Okay. We're in Hilchos Yishus Parachaf Beis. We left off at Halach Yud Ches, but Halach Yud Ches is really an explanation of Halach Yud Zayin. So let's just go back to Halach Yud Zayin for a second. And what we're dealing with is, we're dealing with cases of a woman's rights to the Nichsei Melog and Nichsei Tzon Barzel, and which situations she's able to sell them, etc. So in Halach Yud Zayin, the Rambam had said, V'chein Yishus Shemachra or Nosan Nichsei Melog Lebaila. Let's say she sells or gives her nichsei melog to her husband, machra umatanasa kayamin. So the sale or the gift is actually valid. She can't say the nichsei melog by giving my husband the nichsei melog. Nachas ruach hatzisi lebaile. That I did it, to make it pleasant. But by other nechasim she's able to do that. So what did he mean by this? Lach yudches. The Rambam explains. Ketzad aisha shemachra onatsa lebaile the nichsei son barza. So when a woman decides to sell or give to her husband the nichsei tzon barzel, whether it's land, meaning fixed property, or bein metalpin, movable assets, o sadash yachila b'ksubasa, or let's say it is a field that was set aside for her in the ksuba, o sadash akasavla b'ksubasa, or a sada that he wrote about the sada in the ksuba, o sadash shechnisla shum mishalo, or if it's a field that that she brought in for him. Lo kana baila va'afki. So the husband does not have the purchase is not a good purchase. So all these situations, the kinyan is not a valid kinyan by the baal. Va'afki shekana miyad isha britzona. Even if the purchase was done in a clear way that she wanted this, chozeres b'chol isha tirtza. Nonetheless, she's able to go ahead and take it back anytime she wants. Why? Shelo nasa lo v'lo machar lo, because she didn't actually sell or give it to him. Elavnei Shalom Beisa, because she could always say she didn't do it for that purpose. Rather, she did it just for Shalom Bayis. She felt a compelling reason to make the sale or to give it to him because she wanted to maintain peace in the house. Lafikach ain labala labal raya klal benichse ishto chutz benichse below kamosha garnish. Therefore, there's no mechanism that a husband can have to ever verify his claim against her nichse or nechasim. That's why he would never have ownership on it, except for nichsei melog. So nichsei melog, as he explained before, are the exception to this. But in general, when it comes to nichsei, these types of nechasim, like nichsei son barzel, at the end of the day, it's not really a valid kinyan. Halach yates, can now nichsei son barzel, she'avdo o she'nignavu. Okay. Now let's say you have a situation where her nechasim, or nichsei son barzel, she lost them or they were stolen. Umachla osam isha lebaila. And what she did was, is that Now that she lost these nechsei tzon barzel, she says to her husband that you don't have to pay me back. I'm good to go. The kanu imena be'edim, right? And this stipulation was formalized in front of Edim. Yearly, the Rambam says, right? She'ina yichol lomar nachas ruach asis lebayim. She can't then go back and say, she can't negate what she says here by saying, I only did this to appease my husband, meaning it would be a valid kinyan. So what's this compared to? Okay, lemisha kanu miyada. So let's say a husband and wife create an agreement. Okay, she'ein la achrayas shehichzira nechasim elam nechsei melog. So what's the situation? She basically says that they make a shtar between them, and she says that she's giving up any achrayas, any responsibility at all for any of the property that he took that's called nechsei, nechsei tzon barzel, and convert it to nechsei melog. So let's say she says, she takes her nechsei tzon barzel, so to speak, and says, I want to convert to nechsei melog. But they decide this together. Sharei ein abal may be raya litzol klom. Because the husband's not bringing any type of raya to take anything. Lo lehechzik v'nechaseya, or to take possession of what she owns. Elehi pater mitviyasa melesham. All he's trying to do is he's trying to get out of any chiyev at all to pay her. Avaim nastalom matana mitatalei tzon barzel. But if she gives him a present from movable tzon barzel, remember, nechasim usually are fixed assets, here movable assets, hakayamim, lo kana, neshesh lo nomar nachas ruach asis lebaila. Then it's not a good kinyan because she can always say, I only sold it to him because to keep him happy, so to speak. So she'd have a way out of that transaction. Now, baal shemachar karka leperos lo asaklum. Okay. So when a husband goes ahead and what does he sell? He sells the rights to the monetary gain that'll come from fixed assets from land. He hasn't done anything. Okay. Meaning, remember, this land belongs to his wife. Why does the husband, why is he able to benefit from, let's say, the monetary gain from the profits that come about through karka? for a simple reason why. They allowed him for this. Ela kedei laharviach botzos abayis. He's supposed to gain from the field in order to, in a sense, reinvest those funds into the house, meaning he's supposed to spend money on his family. So the whole reason why he's able to gain from the peros of the karka is for this purpose. He can't sell it. If he got him makal the peros, if he ended up selling this, but let's say he sold the peros in order to get money, okay, and then take the money to create a business, right? And then what do you call it? And obviously with the business, what can he do then? He can therefore help out the house. Then we listen to him. So in that situation, he will be allowed to be mocher the peros in order to get money to then open up a business. That would be permitted in that situation. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Hayu le'isha ksafim. That's also interesting halacha. The woman brings into a marriage money, okay, finances, stocks, all right? Im nechzei tzom barzal hayin, or raise a nosim nosim lahem. So if they're considered nechzei tzom barzal, so he's allowed to go ahead and do business with that money. Then nechzei melog hayin, but let's say the nechzei melog, bein shech niso son lo, bein shen nafla la birusha, o nasnu la b'matana, o nafla matatlin. Doesn't matter how she acquired them, o nasnu la, all these are different methods of acquisition. Hare elon yimachru, what does he do with this money? He sells it, okay? Or let's say the financial assets, he sells it, the lakach ben karka, and then uses the proceeds to buy land. The hu olcha perosayin, and then he'll go ahead and benefit from the peros. So if she comes in, let's say, with stocks, so he'd have to sell the stocks, purchase land, and then anything that comes, which again, really hers, and then any monetary gain from the land, he's able to keep. Let's say a woman is physically injured by other people. And what happens in Chovel? There's a financial knas, a penalty, an onesh that people have to pay. So kol amos or rios loses law, any money that goes to her, yilakach ben karka, he takes those funds, purchases land. The ba'al lo chaper saying, k'moshi sprav, hilchos chovel. He'll explain this later on, hilchos chovel, but it's the same outcome. This money that comes in, he has to take that money, purchase land with it, and then, which basically is hers, and then he's able to, what do you call it, benefit from the payers. Lach of gimel. Okay, nafula abadim. Let's say she inherits servants. Okay, afmi shehens kainim, even if they are old servants. Okay, remember, she's already married. Hare elu lo yumachar, ne shevach beisaviyah. So it's interesting. He's not allowed to sell, okay, these servants because basically, what do? They bring like honor to the house. Okay, so it's good to have abadim. Nafula zesim ugafanim. Let's say she inherits olive trees or grapevines. And she inherits with that the land where they were planted. Right. So if the trees produce enough fruit that by selling them they'll end up paying for their upkeep. We don't sell them. Why? Because of the shevach they bring to the household. Then la, but if that's the case. Then he can sell. He sells them off for firewood, and then purchases land. So again, in this situation, we actually have peros, so to speak, physical peros growing. It's not so clear some situations will they be allowed to or not allowed to sell them off in order to purchase land. Let's say she inherits produce, right? Let's say apples that are actually still attached to the trees, meaning they're growing, they're still growing. These belong to the Baal. Tulushim in a karka, but if the produce, let's say the carrots are uprooted from the land, tulushim in a karka shalah, v'yimachru v'yilachah ben karka v'yilachah peris. He sells the carrots, so to speak, buys land from it, and then he is able to gain from the peris. Avam agar says yishto, but if they end up getting divorced, v'hayula peris mechubram the karka, and she has fruit that's still attached to the ground, meaning let's say carrots that are planted in the ground, Bishatsky Rishin at the time of the divorce. Hare Ilu Shalah, these belong to her. Vimhayu Tlushin, but if they were actually removed from the ground, separate completely, like the carrots have been uprooted, then Hare Ilu Shalah, then they belong to him. Okay. Halacha Chaf Hey. Okay. Abde Nichse Melog. Okay. Ubehemas Nichse Melog. Habal Chai Mizunosan. Okay. So the servants and let's say animals that come in underneath Nixay Malog, meaning let's say there's stuff that was owned by his wife and they're brought into the marriage, both Avadim and Behemas, the Baal, the husband's chayav to provide sustenance for them as well, of the Chol Tzarchayim, and for all their needs. Behein Osun Lo, who Ol Chaper is saying, and they can work for him, and he's able to benefit from their work. So lefikach v'lad shivchas milo gluba. Okay, so let's say, for instance, let's say a shivcha gives birth to a baby. Okay, that's considered nichsei milog that belongs to the baal. Vlad behemas milog baal. Same thing by if an animal, let's say, assuming a calf is born to a cow, that also would be considered nichsei milog baal. Vim girsha, let's say he divorces her. V'ratza isha litain damim v'litol vlad shivcha. Nei shevach v'yisaviyah shomamah. Let's say they get divorced and she wants to pay the value of the child who was born to the shifcha, who is now underneath the category of nichsei milog, and she wants to take the child as her own because she says it's better for her beis aviyah. We listen to her in that situation. I think he gets to the remind me if he doesn't. Halacha vav hechnisa lo shnei kelim o shtei shvachos. Okay, b'toras nichsei son barzel. So let's say a woman brings into the marriage, let's say two forks or two servants, maid servants, underneath the category as nichsei son barzal, okay? Vishamu osan alav elav zutz. And what's the value of, let's say, the shvachos? 1,000 zutz. Vihukru, right? And what happens? They go up in value. Vamdu baal paim, and now they're worth 2,000 zutz, okay? Vigirsha, they get divorced. No, tell us echa de elef shala vasheni im ratzah shetitin dama v'tito mishum shevach beisaviyah shomila. So let's say they get divorced. She's entitled to either one maid's worth or one value of the maid, which would be 1,000 zuz. That's owed to her. Okay. And in terms of the other, if she wants to, she can pay for it because of the shevach that it brings to her father's house. She's allowed to do that. So one, she definitely gets the 1,000 zuz for. If she wants the other, she can purchase it. And we listen to her. We accept that purchase because she's doing it for the purpose of shevach beis aviyah. Halacha chav zayin, hanose matana leishto. Okay, let's say a husband gives a present to his wife. Okay, bein shenasal makarka, bein shenasal mos. Okay, whether he gives her real estate or gives her money, the lacha behen karka. And what does she do? She buys karka with that money. Okay, ein the baal peros matana zu. Then he does not get the payros of this gift. So again, he gave her, let's say, money. She goes ahead and buys land. He's not entitled to the payros in the land that she buys. V'chein as well, hanosi matano l'isha. Let's say he gives a present to his wife, amanas, on condition, shelo yia ba'al ocha peroseo, right? Ela yu peroseo l'isha, right? L'masha tirtza. So, or the second case is where he makes a stipulation that I'm selling this to you on condition that I don't get any, a third party gives a present to a woman on condition that her husband does not get any of the payros from it. Okay. Ain't a baal ocha peros matana zu. The baal also would not get the benefits of those payros. V'chena mocheres ksuvasa b'tovasana osana damon l'isha. V'ain a baal ocha perosin. So too, if a woman sells the right of a ksuva to someone else after, let's say, her husband's death, any money she gets, she belongs to her and is not entitled, for example, to the estate of, her husband would not be entitled to be ochel any of those payers. Halacha chavches. Okay, vlad behemas milog. Okay, so let's say you have a calf born from an animal that was classified as nichse milog. Shenigdav, and it's stolen. The nimsa ganav, we find the thief. Vishalom shnayim, and what does he do? He pays double. Hakefel, okay, which is the extra payment, Laisha. Okay, she doesn't get the entire thing, but the extra payment. Why? Shein zeha pri shetikna lo chachamim. Because this isn't the pri that the chachamim were talking about when it came to payers from the karka. Hachovo beishto, okay, when a man injures his wife, okay, kol hanezek, that's our rebosha shala. So chovo produces five financial outcomes. Nezek. Tsar, which is pain. Nezek's the actual damage, reduction of value. Tsar is the pain. A repoy, which is medical costs, which we know he has to pay anyway. There's a sheves, which is basically workers' comp. That's not going to be a situation in the Ramam Salaha. And then boshes, which is her public shame. So he's chayav to pay nezek, tsar, and boshes, shalav, ein abal ocha perosan. But he would not be able to get any payers from that. And we'll see that later on in Hilchos Choba. Halacha Chavtes. Hamocher karka leishto. So let's say a man sells land to his wife. Im hayu hamo shalacha behenes akarka mi baila gluyin via du on the baal kenas the habal ochaperos osakar. Okay. Let's say the husband sells a property that he owns to his wife. Okay. Now let's say he knows she needs to pay for it. Okay. If he's aware of those funds, okay, he knows where the funds came from. Okay. Then he's then able to go ahead and benefit from the pay risk in that land. So again, if he has knowledge of where she earned the money, so to speak, to purchase his field, the purchase is a good purchase and he's able to benefit from the pay risk of the karka. However, if Imayomo is tumunin, right? But let's say he's not aware of where she got the funds from. Lokanas, then it's not a good kinyan. Shabal Omer, lo mocharti. Because what can happen? He may say later on, I didn't intend to sell this. The only reason why I set this deal up is to reveal the fact that she was hiding money. Those are namos, shaniru, yulakach man karka. And then those funds that are revealed, he'll use them to buy karka, the bal oka peris. And he goes ahead and benefits from the peris. Okay, go ahead, Ron.
The previous case is does she get both the principal and the kfel or just the kfel?
Just the kfel.
Why? Why?
That's a good question.
Baal gets the payros, but the Baal doesn't get the, you know, the, let's say animal itself.
Right.
So why does he get the?
I think if I remember correctly, I think the Kesef measure takes it up. It's a good question. Why does she only get the kfel? Good question. I'll send you the Gemara, man. It's a good question. I was wondering the same thing. It's like a funny thing. Why she only gets the kfel? Okay. Alach Avamid. Hareisha nimsu maos umataltim yad isha. Okay. So let's say we discover metatalin, movable assets, for example, or money, in the hands of his wife. He omeres matana nasuli. So she says, he gave this to me as a present. Nu omeres mi maisei decha haim. He says, no. These are things that this is income from work that you've done. Shame shali, because therefore they belong to me. So again, we have contesting how she got this money. Hari zunet menet. So she's believed in this situation. However, of course, you can always put in this tanai of a cherem for anyone who challenges this. And then the money should then be used, as always, to buy karka, and he gets the pairs. Then Mamra, now let's say she says, Almanas came nusnali. Okay, let's say she says that the money was given to me on condition, right? On condition that my husband would not have any rishus to this stuff. Rather, I can use it for whatever I want, meaning that was the condition. She has to bring a raya that that's the case. Because the halacha is that there's a chazaka that basically any mammon that's found in her hands, we assume the husband has rights to through the halacha peros, until she brings a proof otherwise. So the burden of proof in that situation is actually on her. Okay, she says to her husband, Ata mitatem li matana. Okay, so you gave me this money as a present. Nishba shvuas heses, shenasam abal v'eno chaperusim. So she must take a shvua derabanan, okay? And then, her husband goes, that her husband gave her the money, and he would not get those payers. He would not get the payers from that. So if she says to him, you gave this to me as a gift, and she does the shvua, then he will not get peros from that money. Halacha b'amabeis. Okay, ein mekablin pikdonos. Okay, so in general, one should not accept the pigadon lo min anashim, lo min avandam, lo min tan. So you should not accept, a vase and to store it for someone, to keep an eye on it, okay, to secure it, so to speak, or keep an eye on it, all right? You shouldn't take that from women or from servants or from tan. Vim avar v'kibam in isha yachzer l'isha. Okay, if you did do this and you accepted it from a woman, you should give it right back to her. Okay, mesa yachzer l'baila. And if she dies, you should return this item back to her husband. Kibam in eved. Let's say you got this. Let's say vase for safekeeping from a servant. Yachzer l'eved. You should return it to the eved. V'meis yachzer l'rabo. And if he dies, return it back to his master. Kibam in a katan. Let's say you got the vase from a katan, right? Yikne lo bo sefer Torah davar she'ocha pirosa. So what should you do? You should purchase a sefer Torah with those funds, okay, or something that'll help the katan benefit from it. Candy. The kulam she'amru mishas misasam pikadon zeshaponi. All these cases, okay, if at the time of their death they say pikadon zeshaponi hu, they say this article I gave as a pikadon belongs to this person. Right? Im hayu becheskas nemanim, etzel zeh shebekanon etzlo, yasek, moshe tzivu, v'imlav yitem liyoshem. The Beis Din comes down to, and we'll also see these halachas down the road, if the person who's keeping an eye on it, is working under the assumption that the person who gave it to him is an honest person, okay, then we listen to what he has to say. Okay, if not, then he has to be given over to the Yorshim. So, of course, that assessment's up to Beis Din, how to determine the level of nemanus. Halacha lama gimel, isha shahayula ksafim hariyu sabal lechol perusan. Let's say the wife has these financial documents and stuff that really, her husband would benefit payros on them. Hu omer kach v'kach yulachach v'hem. Okay. He says that this type of property, this type of real estate, we should buy it with this money. V'yomeres inu l'kachas v'hem elakach v'kach. And she says, no, I want something else to be purchased with it. Okay. Lochem davar sheperosam rubim yotzia miuta. So what's the lacha? You should buy, this is good investment advice, you should always buy the property that's going to give you the bigger ROI, return on investment, okay, and requires the least amount of upkeep. Bein shahaya davar kirtzono, bein shahaya kirtzono. It doesn't matter whose idea it is, okay? Bein lochen ela davar shegazu machlev shema yochal akol benimsa karen abba. And in general, we don't ever purchase something, okay, anything that doesn't literally renew on its own. Because what can happen is that there's some sort of renewal of the land. Because if not, then the entire property will be lost, and therefore the initial investment, which is the Karen, will be lost as well. And finally, halacha lama daled, haisha shehechnisa labayla eiz lechaba v'rachel legizasa v'deka leperosa. Let's say a woman brings into the house, let's say a goat that she's going to go out and milk, or a sheep that she's going to shear, or a date tree that she's going to pick off the tamarim from. Even though ultimately she's only entitled to the peros and not to the object, he's able to go ahead and enjoy the benefits from these items, even though the actual value of these items goes down. Meaning when you shear the sheep, the value of the sheep has now gone down. Okay, so too, if she brought in to the marriage Klei Tashmish, which let's say like clothing, whatever it might be, B'torach Nechsei Melog, okay? Harei Zemish Tamish Ben, he can make use of them, he can wear them. Velove Shumatzia U'mechase, right? Adji Chalei Karen, even though in using them, it actually reduces the value of the object. U'gushi Garish, if they get divorced, Educhai B'sham, Havleo Shal Nechsei Melog. He's not required to pay for any Nechsei Melog that basically wore out. So wear and tear that happens in his use of the objects, he's not tied to pay for. And finally, Allah Kalam and Hey, Hora Gonin. So another Psak of the Gonin. Shenichse Son Barzel, Afa Pi Shepichisasan Alabal. Okay, so when it comes to Nichse Son Barzel, even though it's the Achrayas of the husband, okay, for any reduction in price and value of the Nichse Son Barzel, right? Imayu Hevleos Kayama. Okay, this is only if the situation is where I can still use it for what it's made for. Vayu Osin. So as long as he's able to go ahead and as long as these objects are able to be used in their initial designation, meaning let's say the shirt could still be worn, it's not completely worn out, okay, then what do you call it? She still is able to take it. Then lo hayu osim ein melachdan, right? But let's say he used them to the point where they're no longer usable. Harein kamoshin nignam v'avdo. That is as if they were stolen or lost. Then he's responsible to pay for these nechasim, okay, for these, let's say, metophilin, at the price that they were valued at the time of marriage. So if he goes ahead and, let's say, uses the shirt to the point where it gets destroyed, he'd be chayav to pay the value that, not the blue book value now, but the value it was at the time of nisun. Well, minu pashut who's that, right? This is the common practice. V'chol ha-nosel minagzeh, kibolav achrayas in adunya. And anyone who goes ahead and marries, he accepts upon himself within the dunya this minna. U'gashem she'en this halacha. U'gashem she'enu mishalem ha'peches, kach in notel ha'sheva. So just like he's not responsible for the depreciation of the asset, so too he doesn't collect the increase in value of the asset. Remember, we're not talking about the payros, we're talking about the value of the asset itself. Okay? Imho siyo d'man lefi minagzeh. Now finally, yesh lo ba'al lokov mixos av the ishto v'amosov. A husband has the right to go ahead and force some of his avadim or shvachos that belong to her, right? Sheyu mishamshin osobeis isha acheres shenasa. Okay, he can get them to basically serve him or help him if he's married to someone else as well. right? So the avadim of wife number one are not limited to only that, but even in the second house he has for his other wife, okay? Shenasa bein shahayu avdei malog, bein shahayu avdei tzom barzal, it doesn't matter which category they are, nixei tzom barzal, nixei malog, avaini yochol holich on the yarcheresh, shlo bedas ishto, but he can never take these servants to another city without the explicit permission from his wife. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll pick this up, Perek Chaf Gimel, tomorrow.